Hi, everyone. Garrett Todd here. Today I am speaking with Art Gilliland. He is the Senior VP of Hewlett-Packard Software Enterprise Security Products. He leads HP's software security solutions team to help customers, and this is important, manage risk and compliance. Art is a 15-year security industry vet. He comes to us from Symantec, where he served as Senior VP of Information Security Group. He earned a BA in economics, which I like, has an MBA from Harvard Business School, which I love, and he also holds several key patents in IT security, which I am thoroughly impressed by. So, Art, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I feel like we kind of know each other a little bit, even though we've never met, because of those presentations that I saw. They were excellent. They really drilled down on some of the key elements of what's going on in the business world today. So let's jump right in, shall we?
That sounds perfect.
So here's the question I have when I started approaching this situation. Every day or every week, you turn on the TV, you listen to the radio, you hear about new security breaches that are happening from organizations. So my question is, why now? What has happened in the industry that we're seeing so many people get past these front lines that we all thought we were secured by?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of questions underneath. One of the questions is, why are we seeing so much more of this kind of crime and attacks that are happening against the systems? I think the short answer there is, if you think about what's happened over the last 4 or 5 years in our lives, so much of our lives have gone digital. We interact with our financial systems. We interact with so many parts of how we keep in touch with each other is now either through our mobile phones or through the internet, through social media and otherwise. And so as more of our lives go digital, crime is just following our lives. And so you see more crime, more of those kinds of attacks that are happening in the digital world. So that's sort of the uber reason why you're seeing more of these sort of cyber attacks, cyber breaches. I think on the other side of this, why are they so successful, and why are we hearing about them more? I think we're hearing about them more because organizations, companies, and others are more comfortable talking about it, because they know they're not the only ones. And so you're seeing more of it hit the news. You're seeing it more of it hit the press as these data breaches become public. And so I think there's an awareness that unless we talk about it, we're not going to be able to do anything about it. And so obviously our lives are going more digital, crime is following theirs, and now there's just a lot more comfort about talking about it, because if we don't talk about it, we're not going to be able to fix it.
So where is the biggest gap in understanding in IT security today from where we think we are, you know, the C-level managers who buy a firewall and implement it and right. feel like, hey, we're blocking most of the things going on here. Where is the gap in understanding what are we missing in this equation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest gap is in understanding is that if we believing that we can stop it all. And I think if you, again, liken it to the physical world, the physical crime world, even if you have locks and alarms and others, a determined thief will still find a way in. And so I think that is one of the fundamental understandings, believing that everything can be stopped by just buying a tool. And so there's a lot of focus still on trying to find that silver bullet technology, whether it's a firewall or the new firewalls or antivirus that sits on the systems. And I think the sad reality is that as long as people are interacting with systems, there's going to be vulnerability. There's going to be risk of theft. And I think that is one of the fundamental misunderstandings right now in security.
Excellent. So you mentioned a key word for me, silver bullet, that you used in your presentation. And that one really blew me away that you presented on. Stop looking for the silver bullet and start thinking like a criminal. That
yes.
was eye-opening, to say the least, the way you laid out what's actually going on, specifically focusing on people, process, and technology. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what people feel is what they're doing normally right now and where you think they should be moving their resources.
Yeah, so if I step back a little bit and really focus on what's happening on the bad guy side, because I think this helps people think about it differently. is if you look at what's happening for the bad guys, what we see going on in their world is that there's so much money being made when they steal, whether it's intellectual property or credit card numbers, that there's a marketplace now growing up around that because there's so much money, and so professionals move in, and they start to build tools or build services that now an individual criminal, you can buy and sell services from other criminals to help make you more effective. And so when you think about it that way and think about the person that you're competing against is actually a marketplace, what you need to do to respond to that is you need to start thinking about, okay, if they're a market, if they're a business, they have a certain process that they go through to try to break in. I better be creating capabilities on my side that make their process less effective. And so there are certain stages that they go through when they attack us. They research us. They try to figure out who our people are and what systems we have. They then use those profiles or that understanding of us to try to break in. They break in, and then they use the access after they are inside to try to search around and map us out and figure out where our sensitive and valuable data is. Then they capture that data, and they get out. And so there's a bunch of things we need to do, but I think it fundamentally starts with making it harder for them to research us, making it harder for them to trick our people or trick our systems into letting them in. And so when you start thinking about it that way, you stop thinking about just product that you buy. You actually have to think about, have I trained my people? Are they aware of what's going on? Are they prepared for how they do it? Not only the people that just use the tools in IT, but also all of your employees need to understand what's happening so they can be smarter about how not to get tricked, how not to get sort of fooled into letting bad guys into the environment.
Excellent. Yeah. You know, it makes me think of perhaps the movie Troy. I'm thinking of the Trojan horse, the real Trojan horse that exists.
Exactly.
They went through all that trouble to create that wall, that firewall, to protect and isolate themselves from the enemy that is on the outside. And what happens? It can do very good shooting arrows and fireballs at that wall, and nothing happens. Yet somebody presents a gift at the front gates for them, and the people are happy to take the gift, right? They take the bait, and in comes the Trojan horse inside the walls, and now it's game on.
Yeah, and I think if you look at what goes on, it's a combination of some technical capability that the bad guys have, but the real powerful way that most adversaries get in is they just trick one of our users into letting them in. And so this is why educating the employees, educating people in general, citizenry in general, about what is going on and what to look for and how to be careful about what you do is absolutely critical. Because, yes, are there technical breaches that never talk or touch a human? Sure. And there's a bunch of errors that we make in the IT world and others that allow them to break in without talking to or touching an employee. But the reality is the vast majority of successful breaches actually just trick an employee into clicking on something they shouldn't, or give away their password to someone who calls them on the phone, or these kinds of what I would call rudimentary errors. And you know, the reality is the bad guys are really, really good at it. I think one of my favorite stories, one of my favorite breaches, or sort of infiltrations, if you will, because they didn't actually ever steal anything, is in a company I was working for was being sued by the IRS, very publicly being sued by the IRS. And so what ended up happening is our CFO received an email that was formatted like it was from the IRS, talking about the case, which was, of course, public record, and it had to do with tax, right? And CFO of big companies don't deal with tax issues. They send that to the chief tax officer, the head of corporate tax. And so now you have an email, which was sent by a hacker, that has now the added authority of being forwarded by the CFO. And so what do you think that person did? Of course they clicked on it. But these kinds of really intelligent sort of social engineering types of approaches is why that this adversary is so effective. It's not just a system attacking you. It's actually a human being who understands psychology, understands the way people think about it, why they react, and helping users and helping companies understand that is what they're facing, I think makes preparing for it will make them better at preparing for it.
So in a very quick summary here, managers basically need to understand the lay of the land. That's why, like in your presentation, you discussed, let's take a summary and a kind of an overview of what's going on here. And once they see what's going on, then they can properly understand where the weaknesses are in their process, in their technology, in their process, and then they could start attributing more resources towards those weaknesses. And what I'm understanding more and more every day is that the weaknesses are in the employees, the human element.
Definitely. I mean, I think it's a combination. I mean, granted, I am ridiculously paranoid, so I don't expect all managers to become paranoid like me. However, it would help if as folks were coming out with new solutions or as people were building new product to think a little bit more like the bad guy. If I were a bad guy, how would I trick the system? How would I break in? Who would I target if I wanted access to this? And the more managers understand sort of the underlying security risks or the IT security risks from the solutions that they're bringing to market, even if that's not their full-time job to think about that, the more they're aware of it, the better their choices will be. The trade-offs that they make, the date to time to investment in security, all of those things just get better if people think about it a little differently, and this is where awareness is so useful.
Yeah, education seems to solve a lot of problems, as I've learned throughout my life. And so is it safe to say you're a student of the 80-20 rule, Art?
I would absolutely say that. I mean, there's no way, and I think if you think about the presentation that I made around sort of stop looking for the silver bullet, the reality in my industry now is you can't stop everything. It is actually a risk-based game. And so what you want to try to do is focus on the things that are going to reduce your risk the most, because you can never fully stop or fully block. A determined adversary will find a pathway. And so definitely the Pareto principle is really important, because if you can develop capabilities along and stop them in different places up to a certain level, you don't actually need to find that silver bullet. You can be a lot more secure and just focus on the things that matter most.
Excellent. So would you say that this problem we have today really isn't that difficult of a problem to solve? In other words, it may not be easy, but it is a simple solution. Because the way I'm thinking about that from an 80-20 mindset is that, as you said in the presentation, most of the perpetrators or hackers are basically blocked, and very few actually do get in. So kudos to the industry for taking care and being very diligent about keeping those intruders out. However, the ones that do get in are very few. But that being said, it only takes one bad apple to spoil the whole bunch, so that one little Trojan horse that gets through the walls can do a lot of damage. But if we already understand that layout the way it is, if we focus in on the 80% problem of that one little smidgen of people who are getting in, we could probably eradicate a lot of the overall issues, correct?
So I wouldn't say that. I don't think this is an easy problem. I think there are things we can do that will radically improve our risk. So radically, we can get a lot better than we are. But I think the challenge that we face is actually going to be systematically difficult to be successful. And so let me explain what I mean.
Sure.
I think we can spend effort and resources today to reduce it. We can't stop it. We're not going to stop crime. Crime has been around for thousands of years. I think what we need to be thinking about is potentially even new approaches to security, focus more on the assets they care about, focus more on helping to protect users from their own behavior, versus just focusing on systems and putting protections on systems. And so the reality is that this is a very hard problem because it goes against user behavior, but it's not impossible to become a lot more secure and reduce the damage that people face. And so while I think some of the approaches are relatively straightforward, the problem is a big one, and it's going to require a lot of focus from industry and governments and users to make it better.
But yourself as an industry expert, you well understand what the problem is, correct?
I think we understand what the problem is. The challenge is the problem is us. The problem is that user who clicks on that link because it says something that only their friend should know about, and people forget that they posted all of that on a Facebook or a social network site. And so only my friend should know this, so it must be a trustworthy link, and I click on it. And that is a hard thing to stop. And so do I know what the problem is? Sure. There are massive amounts of vulnerability in the software we use. Our users will click on things without thinking. How do you stop that? How do you change that behavior? That's fundamentally complicated. So even if you can name the problem, the fundamental fix of it is complicated. And I think this is where education, not only on where the risks are and what the challenges are, but helping people really understand the ways that they can approach to fix it, is the way you get there. But you can never really stop that. You're not going to stop human behavior. You're not going to change that. And so those are the things that I spend a lot of my time either thinking about, talking about, and also helping design solutions for.
So you used the term earlier that you said you were paranoid, right, about it. But ultimately, it's your awareness has just been raised to the point where you're on guard at all times with regard to this, correct?
That's correct.
Good. So I use the analogy. My grandmother, 86 years old, she lives alone. And my mom and myself constantly remind her that if a perpetrator who wants to steal your information or steal something from your house or whatever, they're likely going to approach you using some kind of facade that you trust. So you use the thing about your friend sending a link to you and whatnot and trusting them, or your bank, yep, who you trust using a logo or a very cleverly laid out email to extract that information. So your guard instantly goes down, and then that's when they slip in through the back door on you. Just like my grandmother, somebody may ring the doorbell, and it may be somebody dressed in a police officer's uniform or in a very nice suit and tie, right? They're going to look very representable, and instantly somebody unsuspecting's guard is going to go down. Meanwhile, somebody else slips in the back door. They're never going to come, with the crowbar in their hand to the front door, right? I mean, where the education comes in to raise awareness to people through training and education to say, it's okay, we're all in the same boat together because there are creepers and marauders everywhere, but likely they're going to come in using some very trustworthy things like being your friend or being a bank or being the government, correct?
That's right.
So people just need to, like yourself, raise their awareness and be on guard for almost everything that comes through your email and not just have this knee-jerk reaction to a friend sending you something and say, hey, click this link, right? I mean, it probably drives
That's
you
correct.
Nuts just like it drives me nuts when family members forward stuff to me and they, from other things that they've forwarded. I'm like, this is exactly how this process works.
That's exactly right. I mean, one of the talks I did is sort of what are the things that consumers should think about, and one of the points I made in that talk was we as knee jerk just want to get on to the next thing because a lot of the systems that are out there today are actually pretty smart at trying to protect us, and I'll give you a very simplistic one, but a lot of the web browsers today will. So when you're surfing the internet, you're in your web browser, they will actually tell you if a security certificate has expired or not. And most people don't actually care about that. They just click through it because they want to get to the website.
Right.
But the system is actually telling you, wait a minute, where you're going isn't actually what they say they are. Or they've got an error and they haven't updated their security. You should be cautious. Most people don't pay attention. They probably never look down into the certificate to try to understand what is this alert really telling me. They just say okay, move on to the site. Yes, I want to keep going to the site. So we've got to even let the systems protect us in some cases. If you're more paranoid, you're more cautious about it because you've been educated, you might think about that before you just click through it. But the vast majority of people don't do that.
Wow. So this might even be a little more, like you said, it wasn't easy. It's a hard solution because even when people are being warned that there's a problem, they're bypassing it, let alone somebody who's pretending to be totally magnanimous, if you will,
yes.
And kind of on
and
the
if,
up and
yeah,
up.
If the system says, hey, this is an infected site, don't click on this, people might listen to that. But when the system says, hey, this is riskier than normal, this doesn't smell right, there's something wrong here, but it could be nothing. the people just sort of click through that. I think that's the human nature part of this. That's the education part of this that we've got to help people get their hands around. And I think it starts with really understanding the adversary, who we're up against, so people get that, look, it's not just a virus on a system. It's an active adversary. It's a human being out there thinking not just what you might do, but then if you do something, countering with a different response. So it's not, they haven't programmed out this whole thing. There's actually an active adversary who's literally playing chess with you. And for the vast majority of people in the world, they're a lot more technically capable. And so they're just better. And that's the game that our companies have to play on a daily basis.
The enemy is more organized today, they're more specialized, and they're more technical than most users are today.
Absolutely no question.
So, I was referencing this arms race that you didn't use that term, but you know, going toe for toe, you know, the technology is really where we need to shift our mindset, because most of the technology today is amply protecting people. The wall is established. I just want to reiterate that it's the human element that is the main point of entry for some of these nefarious activities from these criminal organizations. I thought I saw something with regards to how long a nefarious criminal exists within an organization's database before they're discovered. Do you have any kind of data to support how long that is before a manager actually finds something or the system finds them?
Yeah, so I mean, if you think about the way that they're attacking us, obviously the first step is to make it harder for them to get in, and that's the research part. So can we educate our people? The second part is the blocking technologies, and I think we talked a lot about how, look, most companies have the right kinds of technology in place to block the vast majority of this. The challenge is that one user that we talked about, that one bad guy who does get in. And once that person's in, they're typically in for a long time. So if you look at the data from last year, the average time for successful breaches, so these are for breaches that we know about, the average time that the bad guy is inside before the company knows about it is 223 days. And that's a pretty radical improvement from a couple years ago where it was like 416 days. And so it's massive improvement, but the reality is they're still inside for almost 9 months. And that's one part of the data. The other really interesting part, and if you're a security watcher geek like I am, is most of the time companies actually don't discover their own breaches. And so last year it was more significant. We've gotten a lot better this year. But still, 67% of companies are notified by somebody else that they were breached. Most often law enforcement, but sometimes partners and others. And so almost 70% of companies that are breached don't actually find it themselves. They're told by somebody else. And so if you think about that problem, it's not actually about blocking that's going to help reduce the risk more. It's about finding the adversary after they're inside, before they've stolen stuff. If you could do that faster, you would radically reduce the damage and the risk that companies have. And so back to your Pareto principle, do I want to spend another dollar on blocking technologies or stuff to keep them out? I could probably build better software. I could probably make my user smarter, but you also probably want to spend money on finding bad guys that are already in. And so this is that layers, those layers of protection and the Pareto principle. I probably don't need to take blocking to 100 because it's impossible and it will be so expensive, not only to the us, but also to the, you know, it would stop business from working. Spend those dollars elsewhere. And I think those kinds of metrics really bring it home for folks that are thinking about this in terms of how people get in. So.
That's horrifying. 223 days, did you say, on the average now?
223 days the adversary is inside mucking around in your environments before you discover they're there. And then after you discover they're there, it takes you another 45 days on average to get them out.
9 months before they're discovered on average. However, 7 in 10 organizations do not discover them themselves. It's a vendor, a law enforcement agency, an outside party.
Some outside party notifies them, yeah.
And it takes 45 days to eradicate that problem on average.
Typically, yeah.
So what is the, since we talk about the damage on entry, what are some of the short and long-term effects that managers need to think about with regard to those breaches if they should occur?
Well, obviously the short-term breach is massive disruption and bandwidth consumption, right? So their people are basically going to be thrown into investigations, and it'll be incredibly disruptive because they're going to have to talk to customers. And so there's a whole bunch of time that managers are going to spend in just doing damage control. And so that's time that they can't spend on focusing on helping to drive their business because they're literally just in react mode. And if you figure it's 45 days or so in the short term to just even get them out and understand what's going on, I think it probably trails out to about 4 or 5 months of just lost bandwidth and focus. I think that's the short-term impact that comes almost immediately for managers. I think the long-term impact is relatively unclear. I think in some cases you see massive business disruption that lasts a long time. I think companies like Target are still dealing with trust issues around their brand. Sony is definitely going to deal with trust issues around its brand. But then there are other companies who come back. And so it's, is it a short-term or long-term impact to the business? Definitely it's significant in the short term and incredibly expensive to mitigate. And in some cases, you'll have long-term lawsuits that are coming. In the case of Target, you're seeing very large lawsuits that are coming at them. I think in the very long term, in terms of business survival, larger companies may survive it and come back to health again. But you're definitely looking at a year, if not more, of impact to the business. At least that's the evidence that we're seeing so far, and I think as the breaches become more significant, you'll see longer-term impacts.
Do discussions of government agencies, laws changing to protect end users, because our information's out there in these databases, people are getting things in the mail about how, you've been breached, you may not have been compromised, but your name was in the database, we're going to provide you with, TransUnion or Experian for 1 year free and whatnot. So I guess I want to focus really quickly, if you have any information on the actual legal system with regard to government agencies mobilizing and protecting the end user.
Yeah, I think there are obviously there's disclosure laws today that are helping us actually know more about these breaches. So when, you know, if your customer credit card numbers get stolen, there is there are laws that require them to notify you and tell you what's going on. I think that's one of the reasons why you're hearing more about breaches today, and that's a good thing. More visibility and transparency is a good thing. But there isn't today a set rule about what they are required to do to mitigate it for you. Obviously, the legal system will play itself out, and I think it's interesting. Target is going to be a good example case study where banks are now suing Target for the breach and for the costs that they had to incur to give back credit cards. I think it was somewhere in the order of like $300 million or something. They're saying it cost them after the breach to reissue all the cards. And so you look at that kind of response, and that will play itself out in case law. And obviously then that will add to the business case of why you want to be better at security as that comes through. To date, I haven't seen other than fines for bad behavior and or PCI regulations where the credit card companies charge vendors more if they're not doing the baseline of security. I think those kinds of things will motivate or create at least a business case for investing more in security, investing more in security processes. But I think, sadly, it's not going to stop the value to the thief. And so there will still be innovation. There's still going to be invention that's happening on the bad guy side that will just, you know, innovate around the controls that are there. And so it's going to be a game of cat and mouse, I think, for a long time still.
And so one of the best things, in summary, that we can do is educate our people within the organization to help them have the tools to prevent some of these things from happening.
Yeah, I think there's a couple places where you can invest. You can invest in helping your general population to understand what's happening in the security space, and that would be, hey, that there are bad guys out there and they're trying to steal stuff. This isn't just about a system sending you a virus. It's actually a human being trying to trick you. And helping people understand that, you know, what does phishing look like? What are these phishing, you know, where they send you an email to try to trick you and catch you? What are these kinds of things look like, and how can you be smarter about that? That's one place where education helps. I think the other place where education helps is the people that are actually running the technologies and delivering the services for your business, helping them not only operate the security tools they have, which would be an IT security tool manager, somebody who's actually running the stuff, making sure you invest there, but also the people that are building and delivering the services, even if that's not an internal service, but it's, you know, I'm going to deliver new products to my customer, thinking about how they build those more securely. That also helps the ecosystem. I think those three areas of investment in helping our users be better and smarter at how they not only use the products but how they interact with stuff, I think will help a lot.
Outstanding. Art, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my great pleasure. I really appreciate the time.